Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, everyone, it's Amy back again with another episode of the Debrief Podcast brought to you by DVC Clubhouse. Joined with me again, as always, by Kathleen, Scott, and Phil. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome aboard, guys. You almost had it. It was so close.
What was so close?
It's the joined with me, like usual, always.
Oh, did I not say it correctly? I thought I did it
yeah,
right.
No, you got it. There was a little hiccup there. I saw you almost vapor lock, but you got through it. You battled through it.
I had to think. It's sometimes it's hard. It's been a long day. This is literally... I walked into my house and sat down on the chair. This is the first time that I have taken a seat in my house all day. So
I feel you.
I think Kathleen is dented right now because Parker just jumped up and attacked her. That was hilarious. Sneak attack.
Parker is really desperate to be part of these episodes, isn't he?
As soon as we start to record, she just jumps up here like...
She just wants
Don't
to
forget
be,
about
she
me.
She wants to be seen.
Come here. You got something to say? Spit it out.
I remember what she did last time on screen. This is probably better.
Yeah.
Kathleen and Scott, it's good to have you back on the podcast. We had to have Sean fill in for you guys last time because you were driving back to Ohio for Easter. So welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, I listened to that podcast and it was very entertaining.
I heard we were at Camp Fitch.
I was going to ask, how was Camp Fitch? You've been talking about it for a month before you went back to Ohio.
There's nothing wrong with Camp Fitch and making some candles. Good childhood memories.
Fantastic.
So last night, Kathleen and Scott went to dinner at 1900 Park Fair, which was the day that the restaurant reopened. So in addition to hearing about their experience there, we thought that we would take this episode to talk about our favorite character dining experiences, the ones that we love, the ones that we don't love so much, where we would go back if we would ever go back to another character dining experience ever, or if we're done with that. So why don't you guys let us know how your experience was at 1900 Park Fair?
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Go ahead. No, I'm just curious to hear what your take is on this.
So I have been waiting a long time for this to reopen. I've never went before. I don't think you have.
No.
Did you go before? No.
No, we had it booked, our pre-COVID trip.
Yeah.
And then everything got messed up, but I've never been there.
I think the decor is very pretty. I loved all the pictures on the wall. Very pretty. The food was just okay to me, just standard buffet food. I didn't think they had a lot of options compared to some buffets or character dinings. It was just meh. I don't have to go back again, really. I mean, I would like to try breakfast, maybe, but for $66, I just didn't think it was worth it at all. And the characters, I've been to some, you know, character meals and the characters are outstanding. They come around often. They're very they interact with you very well. I just think it was lacking that as well. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. I wish that they really, I think that they could have done a lot more considering how long it was down or closed. So I was a little disappointed.
So yeah, I mean, you said $66 per person. I think when you go anywhere and you spend $66 per person for a meal, you're expecting something kind of special. And I know it's a character meal. I know it's buffet. That's pretty typical for Disney. They've recently upped their prices. but I'm in the same boat you were. I was really looking forward to this. It's at my crown jewel, the Grand Floridian. You know, everybody jokes with me, and I really do feel like it's Walt Disney World's flagship resort, and they really try to just knock it out the park with anything that they do there. Citrico's, Narcoossee's, even Grand Floridian Cafe. I think they're all above average special places to go to, yeah, especially Narcoossee's and Citrico's.
Well, and that's another point that I would like to make. For as much money as we spent there, we could have went to Narcoossee's.
Right.
And had a meal that was 1,000 times better. And they don't give any discounts right now. So no DVC, no AP, no cast member. The cast member said maybe a year they would be giving discounts. It's just not worth $66, in my opinion.
Well, I'll let people go and make their own judgment. I know a lot of people have been looking forward to this coming back. The food, it just in my opinion, everybody has different tastes. You know, what do you like? They had porchetta, they had prime rib. I thought the protein options were very limited. Strawberry soup is back. They had Tiana's gumbo. I was just telling Amy before we started recording that it just feels like everything was kind of thrown together. Even the characters, you know, you used to have, who was there before? Was it
the stepsisters?
The stepmother.
It was Cinderella themed, yeah.
I think it was, yes. Like the Prince Charming was there too. I don't remember if Cinderella was actually there. I feel like it was everyone from Cinderella except for Cinderella. Is that right? I don't know.
I've got to go back and look. I remember Prince Charming. I remember the stepsisters. I remember Lady Tremaine. That's where Luke got the no means no kiss from one of the stepsisters. But I think you're right. I frankly do not recall Cinderella. Or maybe he walked out with Cinderella, but they didn't do the table meet and greet. Maybe that was the sisters and Lady Tremaine. But yeah, I think you're on the right path there.
So I have pictures of my kids with Prince Charming and with the stepsisters and Lady Tremaine, but that's all I remember.
That's what I was going to say. I got to go back through the pictures to figure it out, because I don't recall a picture with Cinderella, frankly. Maybe they withhold her to royal table, and that's why she wasn't at that dinner.
Well, Cinderella and Prince Charming got a divorce, and she got the restaurant in the divorce, kicked out Prince Charming and everybody else, and invited Tiana, Maribel,
and Aladdin.
And Aladdin's hanging out now. Which is just such a...
makes perfect sense.
Hodgepodge of characters that I'm still trying to piece it together. They have a theme there. We were talking before the show started. It's called Wishmakers. When you sit down, they give you a card and you get a pencil and you write down your wish. You know, whatever your wish is, you write it down. And then halfway through your meal, they all kind of parade around a little bit. There's a little musical thing that happens, and then everybody raises their card and you kind of silently say what your wish is. Everybody repeats after Jiminy Cricket. There's a little phrase that you say, and that's it. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it was very rushed, put together, doesn't make much sense, but I'll let everybody form their own opinion when they go.
So let me make sure I've got this right. So you've got Tiana, Mirabel, Aladdin, who else?
Cinderella,
and you're all repeating after Jiminy Cricket.
Yes.
Perfect.
And Tiana is not in a gown.
I was just going to ask, how was Aladdin dressed?
Like normal.
So he had like his turban,
yeah,
and
dressed in his,
yes,
Prince Ali outfit, not his,
right,
street rat outfit.
Right.
So Cinderella's in a gown. Prince Charming is in his prince suit. Aladdin is Prince Ali. Tiana is on a jungle trek. And Mirabel is in her Mirabel clothes.
Correct. Yeah.
There's not a single cohesive thread of theming throughout this entire thing.
No, I had trouble putting it all together. And I really wanted to like this, but I'm just still trying to piece it together and make sense of it.
Doesn't the artwork on the walls, isn't it artwork of the characters that are there?
It's artwork of the characters that are there, and then additional characters
that are not there.
Help me out. Rapunzel.
I have some pictures. I know Rapunzel was on there.
Beautiful artwork. Really, the decor is really nice. And you could still smell the fresh paint when you walk in there. I mean, not that that's an inviting smell when you're trying to eat, but they really did a nice job with the actual physical update of it. But as far as the, I guess the theming and the what they were trying to go for the experience of the
Snow
dining.
Snow White was up there, Rapunzel.
There was quite a few.
Who is, I'm sorry, on the Wish? What's her name?
Asha.
She's on there.
Which would have made a lot of sense considering the theme about making wishes come true, maybe even having her appear there. But I know Ariel was one of them. There. Yeah.
It's just weird that that's the theming of the restaurant when it's called 1900 Park Fair and it's at the Grand Floridian. They should have renamed the restaurant then and had your expectations meet what the name of the restaurant was. But when you're walking into a restaurant that is arguably a classic, a fan favorite, you keep the name the same and then you completely kind of fabricate this experience and throw in some characters that have nothing to do with one another. I think that people are bound to feel a little bit let down by that.
Yeah, Amy, you're right. It had, you know, memories of what it used to be. You know, the strawberry soup is still there. But then you think the way that they changed the characters, I think a lot of people were disappointed that the previous characters didn't come back. And I think when they see who's there now and the interaction that they get, they're really going to be disappointed with it. I know everybody liked the stepsisters. I never got to experience, you know,
they were entertaining.
Like,
they really were.
I think that's just a unique experience to have them walking around. But yeah, wow.
Oh, they'd start arguing in the middle of the restaurant, calling each other names. It was like dinner theater when the stepsisters were there.
They're in the Magic Kingdom, aren't they? They walk around and they kind of harass people.
Yeah. They'll meet at Fantasyland right out in front of the fountain by the castle, and they'll be carping each other the whole time.
We've talked a lot about how they should be adding a restaurant, you know, for Tiana. And they've done it in Disneyland. And, you know, she's walking around in this gorgeous outfit in Disneyland. It's not her gown, but she looks great. She has, like, her coat on. I mean, it was a little chilly when I went, so it might have been a different outfit. But she was kind of wearing her coat and her hat. And it just, you know, it makes a ton of sense. Like, you go to this restaurant that's themed after Tiana. You want to see Tiana. You're eating her gumbo. You're eating beignets. Like, it all fits in. It all makes sense. Like, that's kind of what, you know, for me, if I'm going to do a character meal, and I'm in full transparency, I'm not like a huge character meal person, because to your point about the price, I really enjoy the dining at Disney World, where I can go to someplace like Citricose or Narcoossee's or California Grill, because, you know, I had to throw my plug in for California Grill, but to be able to sit and have a really good meal and enjoy myself. And for $66 to go and eat a buffet is just, that's way more money than I want to spend on a buffet experience where, like, it's
a small buffet
and where it's going to be rushed, you know, like, you basically go, you eat, and then, like, all of those character dining experiences, like, they kind of want to usher you in and usher you out. So that's not the type of dining experience I'm looking at for dinner. And I looked at the price of the breakfast there, and it's $54. And I'm not a huge breakfast person anyway. So there's, like, really not much appealing to me about dining experiences. If I'm going to do one, I want it to be something special, like going to Tiana's place and feeling like I'm stepping into an experience that's a recreation of something that they, you know, have in one of their movies, or, you know, and to me, this just is not it. And, like, having Tiana randomly in this restaurant where she's not even, I guess what you said, they had the gumbo on the buffet. I mean, it's like such a stretch. And it's also, to me, like, such a waste of Tiana and a dining concept by just being like, oh, here's Tiana and some gumbo on a buffet next to, like Scott said, the strawberry soup. And, you know, it's just so random.
I mean, when you say that the mashed potatoes and the ranch dressing is your favorite part of the meal,
there's a problem.
The mashed potatoes were very good, and I had two salads because I really enjoyed the ranch that they made. But I mean, I know I don't like a lot of food, but I did eat, but it was just not worth $66. So I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I'm sure people are going to complain. I don't know if anything's going to change, but
it's just pretty ballsy, you know, $66 for a meal. And like Amy said, $54 for a breakfast. Mm-hmm. And the buffet area is...
it's small.
It's small. So I don't know what possibly they could put on that buffet that's going to even make you think it's halfway worth $54 for a breakfast. I don't know. It pains me. It's my Grand Floridian and I love everything about it. But I think this was just a swing and a miss.
Let me ask you all, what is your go-to character meal then when you go to Disney? If you're going to do one, what is your go-to?
So
I think we're on the same page with this.
I really hate saying this.
Oh, I know what you're going to say then, since you prefaced it that way.
So, yeah. So my favorite character meal out of all the character meals has to be breakfast at Topolino's. And I only say that because, one, Donald and Daisy are there. And two, I think the interaction between the characters there, it's great. I love it. They interact so well. It's fun. They get the people dining there like all energetic and excited when the music comes on. I just think it's a very fun experience and I love it. But I also believe that it is just pricey and we haven't been back ever. Like, we haven't been back since they changed that rule where you could have like two entrees.
Yeah.
Because I usually get the waffles. Sometimes I've gotten the steak and eggs, but that's also a pricey breakfast.
I think it's $45. Last time I looked, it was $45.
But
per person,
I would pay that before going to 1900 Park Fair for breakfast. And I haven't even been there for breakfast yet because I know I'm going to get a good character experience there.
I would agree with you. I think for character experience alone, I would pick breakfast at Topolino's. I just think, like you said, they mm-hmm. get, you know, the interaction is nice. I can hear that song in my head right now as I think about it. You know, Bella, Bella.
Yeah.
It just kind of gets me fired up. Like, I really want to go there and have breakfast. But I was disappointed. You know, I don't need four plates of food for breakfast because I'm not a big breakfast eater myself. But when one of the options is a fruit plate and it still costs you $45, just like the steak cost you $45.
$49 at Topolino's for breakfast.
So they've actually increased the price since we haven't been there in probably a year.
We haven't been there in a while.
But it's very good character interaction. Probably my favorite character meal on property, for sure.
It is?
For character experience, but not okay. For food.
What about you, Phil?
Were you going to say something, Kathleen?
Go ahead. I was going to say my least, but we'll go.
Yeah,
we'll
I will get there because I know exactly where I'm going for my least. And Scott, fair warning, it is not Chef Mickey's. I think for the selection of food, the quality of food, for me, it's got to be breakfast at Tusker House. It's not cheap, and it pains me to say that because it is at my least favorite park of the four. But the selection of food there, the quality of food there, it is really the only place outside of Chef Mickey's where you can actually get the bulk of the Fab Five, even though they're in their safari clothing. It's, I want to say, about the same. I think it's $47 or $49 for breakfast. And
it's
like
$47 for breakfast.
$47. And I think, what, $69 or something along those lines?
$62.
So it's not inexpensive, but there's no inexpensive character meal on property. You're paying for the characters. You're paying for the photos. That's just all there is to it. But if I'm looking for quality of food and wide selection, I don't think anything beats Tusker House. Now, with that said, it didn't have quite the selection. I do miss the character breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno when they had Prince Eric and the Little Mermaid there. I thought that Trattoria was fantastic for a breakfast. I would still do Tusker House overall, but I thought that had an excellent breakfast.
I think Tusker House is probably my number two character.
So I do enjoy the Topolino's breakfast, but I think, and this is probably not going to come as a surprise to anybody, I think my favorite is the breakfast at Cape May Cafe. And again, like, I'm not a huge breakfast person, so I'm not going to character meals or like character breakfasts because I'm looking for like the greatest breakfast. But they do have that amazing, those cinnamon vanilla buns or whatever it is that they bring to your table, which are so delicious. But for me, it's all about the characters. And I love the outfits that the characters wear at Cape May Cafe. I think that they look adorable. And from like a strictly aesthetic standpoint, for pictures, Cape May Cafe, just to me, it's adorable. And they have Minnie and they have Daisy and Donald and Goofy. And to me, those are, you know, you're basically just missing Mickey. And that's okay with me. You know, I love their beach attire. I think it's adorable. And it's $47. So it's, you know, it's less expensive than Topolino's, you know, only by $2, but it's still less expensive. And I think that it's just also the fact that it's a buffet versus now like Topolino's just bringing you the one thing. I would pick it for that reason too, because just from a value standpoint, you're definitely getting more for your money. And the food is good. I mean, I feel like Cape May Cafe is one that people kind of either don't think about or don't think highly of. And I don't really understand it, because I think that the food there has always been, at least for me, like, I mean, it's a buffet and there are plenty of options and what you get is good. And I find that they have a lot of healthy options on their buffet, which I appreciate. So Cape May Cafe is one that I rank high and do repeatedly.
We've gone many times to Cape May Cafe for dinner. We've never been for breakfast. I know we've had it booked a few times and canceled, but we're going soon next week. So I'm excited to have that for breakfast. But I think out of all the buffets, I think we've been to Cape May the most, actually.
I think we do, just because a lot of times we hang out in that area. And I think that's, you know, it's just a solid option. I'm going to go, if I can give my overall, I think the character experience for me was Topolino's, but overall best food plus character experience for me has to be Chef Mickey's. And I know you guys kind of make fun of me for that, but I don't know what it is about that place when it came back. I think they have the best variety of food out of any buffet. Anything that you can think of, it's probably going to be on that buffet. And I'm not saying it's going to be the best sesame chicken you've ever had or salmon that you've ever had, but it's all pretty darn good. And there's so much food and variety on that buffet. I don't think you would be able to sample a little bit of everything, because you would just be entirely too full by the time you got to try every little thing. And then the character experience is, help me out. Donald, Mickey. Mickey's at the end. You actually take your receipt up front and get a picture with Mickey up front. But I know Donald walks around. Goofy walks around. Daisy? Is it Daisy?
Daisy's not there.
Minnie.
Pluto.
Pluto and Minnie?
No. Minnie, Mickey.
Donald.
Donald.
Goofy.
Goofy and Pluto.
Okay. So it's pretty close to...
So it's the Fab Five.
Yeah. But I just think with characters plus food quality, I got to put that at my number one for sure.
I'll be honest. You have spoken so highly of it that despite what was not a great experience, I am willing to give it another shot. In reference to Amy's pick, Cape May used to be an absolute must-do for us for year after year after year. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I got food poisoning and I can't point to it being Cape May. But I know that everything I tasted for a second time was from Cape May, and I just have not been able to drag myself back through the door ever since. It's just one of those things that I smell it walking by, and I can remember being on the floor of the yacht club bathroom. I'm like, never again.
Well, if you do go to Chef Mickey's, try to get a dinner reservation like at opening dinner or shortly after. I wouldn't wait until like 8 o'clock.
Oh, I'm going with Scott. So whenever Scott wants to go, I promise Scott a date at Chef Mickey's.
Watch the video, because they actually let me in early. There's a video on our YouTube channel. They let us in early before anybody had hit the buffet at all. And it was, you know, pristine, clean, everything was full. And I got tired of talking about all of the, you know, I was so shocked. I kept walking around the buffet and I'm like, oh, here's a, you know, Asian food station, and here's some Mexican cuisine, and here's seafood, and it's just pasta. I just kept going and going with it. And then when we actually sat down and ate it all, I don't think there was one thing that we just didn't like. How many times do you go to a buffet and find desserts that you actually like? Usually the desserts are like little tarts,
yeah,
or these little, you know, they're not very good, but they had a strawberry cupcake there that was just delicious. One of the better desserts I've had. But yeah, overall, I think that's definitely a number one for me. And I can't wait to take Phil on a date.
You and I will talk offline. I'm thinking maybe we have an opportunity coming up here.
I'm ready.
I have a lot of nostalgia where Chef Mickey's is concerned, because the first time I went to Disney, I stayed at the Contemporary. You know, I was 14 years old, and the character breakfast, I can't remember if we did a breakfast or dinner. It might have been dinner, actually. But it was my first time experiencing a character meal, and it was my first time in Disney World. So being at the Contemporary and then going to Chef Mickey's, it just felt like I had arrived at Disney World. And so for a very long time, when people would ask me, what character meal should I do on my trip? I always said Chef Mickey's because it just feels like so Disney World to me. Like, I mean, clearly they all do, but there's just something about being in the Contemporary, all of the characters, the Fab Five there. It just is like, it's a really exciting kind of experience for a first timer. And then I went again. I haven't been back in a very long time, but I went back with, as an adult before I had kids. And I felt like a kid again going there, you know, and it's fun when they have you take your napkins and do it over your head. That's more fun to me than waving a wish card in the air.
For sure. I would rather be singing about my biscuits in the oven any day.
I want to point out also, I think we glossed over this rather quickly, but I think it's an important point. All of the places we're talking about that we like have solid theming. And I know we've touched on this in previous episodes. I feel like recently what we're seeing seems to be a trend of Disney kind of cramming things in wherever they see fit or wherever they have an opening. I feel like theming is getting lost. If you look at Tusker House, it's well-themed. If you look at Chef Mickey's, it's well-themed. If you look at Beach Club, it's well-themed. You talked about the outfits. You talked about the characters. You talked about the food. And then we go over to this new one. It's just a mishmash of characters that don't fit. They're not dressed alike. Some are in day clothes. Some are in regal attire. They're not from the same series. It's not princess. It's just this collection of whatever happens to be either popular or what they're trying to push at the time, in kind of a strange place for it to happen. So I feel like we glossed over that, but I think we really need to hit that point that, again, we're talking about something that's new that just doesn't have the same attention to theming that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, we made the comment that we said 1900 Park Fair felt like a training ground, almost like an orientation for characters. Like, you know, you're going to get your practice here, and then there might be a future endeavor down the road where you might get your own restaurant.
They should all be wearing earning my ears tags.
That's what it felt like. Like, we're just going to throw you all here. We're going to try you out and see how it works out.
Well, it's like a training ground for all of the characters that are, you know, full face characters, where they're not wearing costumes over their heads. So like, that's the thing that they all have in common, is that they're all like human characters, not.
But they were face characters in the old 1900 Park Fair, yeah. And it was at least a cohesive theme.
Yeah. They could have Mary Poppins there. They should have Mary Poppins there. I mean, they have.
Definitely.
That should.
I don't
that's
know.
What should be
How
there.
Is she not there? We all agree on that. Yes.
And that was the theming they were headed toward with Floridian in the last few years, is very Mary Poppins themed. You have a Mary Poppins 2 that did fairly well enough that they were talking about expanding the UK pavilion prior to COVID. And now we go with Mirabelle and Tiana in her jungle clothes. And what are they doing here?
Yeah, I was just expecting something like so elegant walking in, and the decor was elegant, but that was about it.
I wanted Narcoossee's as a buffet, and I got Ponderosa. That's what it felt like.
Narcoossee's as a buffet. Think about how amazing that would be.
Can you? Well, for the price, it should have been. I mean, really, when you think about it.
I'd pay more for Narcoossee's as a buffet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very disappointing. Hopefully other people that go will have a more positive experience.
I mean, I say, oh yeah, I was disappointed, but I truly am sad about it. Because you walk in there with such high expectations of everything that I've heard before of 1900 Park Fair. It's at the Grand Floridian. Like, even walking into the doors, it just looks so pretty and elegant. And
I mean, there has to be conversations about this. Who's sitting around the table going, yeah, guys, let's get rid of the stepsisters and let's bring in Maribel and Tiana, but we're not going to have Tiana wear the gown. Like, I just want to know who these guys are and what you're thinking.
I watched a couple of TikTok videos done by some influencers and vloggers about it. And like, they all gave it high praise. And either they just give it high praise just because that's just what they do, or they actually like it, which it just makes me feel like I'm like, am I just one of these like old people now that are out of touch with like what the trends are? You know, I was having this conversation with a colleague of mine, we're in real estate and we were talking about the trends in homes. And I mentioned to her, because, you know, we just put a house on the market today that was built in the year 1800. And it's very cool. I mean, I showed Kathleen the pictures. It's just amazing. And the intricate details and just so much character. And so I was telling her about Boardwalk, you know, because for me, clearly everything comes back to Disney. And I was telling her about how they did the refurbishment to the Boardwalk. And, you know, because some of the concern about putting a house on the market that is so specific to a time period that really hasn't been updated is that today's buyer doesn't necessarily find that appealing. They want new construction. They want these high ceilings, open floor plans, everything to be white, gray, beige. The conversation then turned to Boardwalk. And again, this isn't to knock the Boardwalk because it's still pretty. I still love the resort. But when you lose, you know, it's like, there's this departure from what the original intention of the creation of so many of these things was. Like, the Boardwalk was created to be a kind of replica of a resort that would have existed at the turn of the century. Grand Floridian was created to be a resort that was going to be built in the style of a Victorian mansion. So 1900 Park Fair should be representative of that. But it's like they just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like make everything kind of the same everywhere you go. All of the new stuff just feels the same everywhere, which is very un-Disney. Like, the thing that makes Disney, or, you know, that made me fall in love with Disney was the feeling of being transported to the place that Disney tried to create. Well, it's hard to feel transported when everywhere you go looks exactly the same, or like the experience doesn't make sense. Like, how am I supposed to feel transported when Disney is removing the elements that are characteristic of the experience they're trying to create? To me, that's like 1900 Park Fair. It's like they're moving away from the intention of what 1900 Park Fair was. And they're moving it away from the intention, you know, even to that. And I agree that Topolino's is a good character dining experience. The food is good. The character interaction is great. But even at that, it's like they needed to kind of, it was a little bit of a stretch in terms of how they were going to infuse character dining, like what the theming of the character dining was going to be, because that resort doesn't lend itself to this like crazy immersive theming. So like when you go to Tusker House, like you walk in and you see the characters, you just by looking at what the characters are wearing, you know what the restaurant is themed after. You know, in these newer character dining, like if you were to run into the characters that are at Topolino's, you wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, I'm on the French Riviera right now. And if certainly if you go into 1900 Park Fair, you're not thinking, oh, I'm at the Grand Floridian in this Victorian style mansion. You know, like it's just everything kind of seems a little out of place, a little. I don't know. Like it's forced. Like they're forcing a theme in a place just to make something out of nothing.
It feels rushed. It feels forced. And it feels like they just went with what's popular right now and let's throw it in the restaurant.
Yeah. And I get that everybody has, you know, everybody likes different things. But I also feel those vloggers, I mean, they're getting paid. You can't tell me that every single one of them are so happy with this thing. There's just, I don't believe that. I just can't.
Well, look what happened when Tom Corliss started speaking negatively about Disney. People lost their minds on him. People that are going back to these TikTok videos and these vlogs and everything else want positivity. Disney wants positivity.
Yeah.
And anybody that speaks ill of Disney suddenly finds themselves uninvited. It's happened to Tom Corliss. It happened to Len Testa. They were favored children until they mentioned a couple of negative things, and suddenly their invitations just stop showing up in the mail.
Yeah. So I just can't believe that they all just love it.
That's what I mean. Like, everybody knows my love affair with Grand Floridian. It's not that I want to speak negatively of anything at Grand Floridian, but I'm just going to tell the truth. I mean, that was bad.
I mean, an opinion is an opinion, whether it's positive or negative. That doesn't mean you're trying to be.
I think, you know, just like I said, a hodgepodge of characters, mediocre food, two people with a price tag of $173 with tip when we walked out of there. I wrote on my wish card, I wish somebody would pay for my meal. That's how bad it was. Yeah, I don't know. I think that was just, like Amy said, it feels forced.
Well, speaking of bad meals, Kathleen mentioned it before. Discounting this one, what would be your least favorite character meal?
I've got.
My least favorite would have to be Garden Grill.
Oh, yes. Oh, Parker barked at that one.
Second from the bottom for me, but yeah, you're absolutely correct.
I don't dislike it as much as Scott does, but it's my least favorite. Yeah. Lily actually loves Garden Grill, so I don't know why.
That was her first meal on property, I think.
That's the only time I'll go back is if she really wants to go, but it's definitely not my favorite.
Yeah, I think Chip and Dale.
It's just, I like how you sit there and like it turns and.
If and when it turns, which seems to be problematic recently.
I like hearing, you know, all the sounds on, you know, living in land and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just, it doesn't do anything for me. And I don't think the food's all that great.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think the food is very mediocre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you're missing too much. I think. A lot like 1900 Park Fair, I think they kind of missed the mark on their food. And they just changed their menu not too long ago. They I think they put some kind of a barbecue chicken on their menu. And it's still very, very underwhelming.
I was going to say, I don't know if this counts, but certainly Be Our Guest is one that is pretty low down. Sorry, Scott. I know it's your favorite restaurant in the Magic Kingdom.
Wow.
But it's because it's like not really a character meal, because it's not like the Beast walks around and comes to your table, but you do have an opportunity to meet the Beast when you're there. So I don't know that. I don't know if that really counts, but that's certainly on my list of ones that like I will never do again. I can't really say that I've had like a terrible experience at any character meal. I will say that the most forgettable for me was Hollywood and Vine. I mean, I ate there once. It was cute for my kids because it was, you know, Emma's birthday. She loved Doc McStuffins. So that's why we were there. But literally, I have no memory of that meal other than Emma losing her mind when she saw Doc McStuffins. And that's about it.
That's where I was going. That was number one on my list of uninspiring, uninspired, mediocre, at best food, very rushed character interactions, way too crowded inside. That for me, I think the only true startling, stuck in my brain memory I have is seeing that bill at the end and just feeling insulted that I needed to pay that much for what I just experienced. There are some others that I like. There are some others that I dislike. But if you had to put one at the very bottom of my list, it's got to be Hollywood and Vine. It was just a bad meal overall. I mean, I think a Ponderosa would be an upgrade from what I experienced at that restaurant.
Yeah, I think that's my
That was a close least. Second yeah. for me. Yeah. There's one that I think if we could give one that we all really want to like and one that has the most potential and one that people really kind of forget about is Storybook Dining. At Wilderness Lodge. I really feel like that has such potential.
It has a lot of potential, but for picky eaters like myself, there's not a lot of food there.
And that's everybody's complaint is the food there. But as far as like the dining, the character experience,
it's
the theming
good,
of it.
Good interaction.
Ugh,
character so experience good. And theming are top end, but I spent an awful lot to have a box with some dry ice show up at my table. And that's what I felt about that one.
Whatever was in the box, I didn't get to eat it. So I'm not even sure what it was, but I
believe... Oh, you're never going to let me live that down.
I believe it was a heart truffle.
I was starving.
Because everything had mushrooms in it, and I don't think you ate one thing the whole meal.
I did.
Yeah, you ate the dessert.
No, I had my meal, but I just didn't eat a lot of it.
But really, though, that place is, it's got so much potential, and I just wish they would change the menu.
I would definitely go back if they did.
I'm glad that you brought it up, Scott, because I was going to ask you guys, because it's one that I have not, where I have not dined. And part of it is because it converted over into a character meal when my kids were a little bit older. So, I mean, the thing is my kids have outgrown character meals, and it's not like they're not dying to go to a character breakfast because they would rather either sleep in or rope drop. And all the other times I go by myself. And so I've actually have reserved it a number of times when I've been staying at either Copper Creek or Boulder Ridge, but I've canceled it because I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, do I really want to spend this money to do this experience by myself just to say that I've done it? And the answer is no. Like, I just can never bring myself to feel excited about it. And so I canceled it and hopped on a boat and went over to California Grill because, you know, I'm predictable that way, and had a great meal and enjoyed myself.
I mean, every now and then, you know, Lily doesn't like character meals all that much, but, you know, she's like, I'm not a baby. I don't think you have to be a kid to go to a character meal, though. Sometimes it's just fun and it makes you happy.
I agree with that. I think my kids, because they've gone to Disney so many times and they've done a lot of character meals, they just, like I said, they would rather either just like sleep in, or if they're going to get up early, it's to hit the parks and to ride what they want to ride. And then,
yeah,
I mean, Emma's favorite restaurant on all of Walt Disney World property, she loves, there's two, there's Beaches and Cream because she loves their burger, and Whispering Canyon Cafe. And it's more about a server that we've had that my girls absolutely loved because she was amazing. So we go to see Megan at Whispering Canyon Cafe. And Allie has a very expensive palate. So like, she wants to go to California Grill and Narcoosie's, and, you know, she likes fine dining. So it's just not a priority for them anymore. You know, it was much more of a priority when right. they were little, and we didn't feel like waiting in line for characters' autographs. So we would go to character dining so that we could feel like we could get the pictures, they could sign the book, and it would not, we wouldn't be wasting time in line.
Well, anytime you want to go to a character meal, I'll go with you.
Okay.
I think it's fun.
I am looking forward to our Cape May Cafe a week from this Saturday. A week from this Saturday, we'll be dining at Cape May Cafe for breakfast. So I'm excited.
It's funny you say that the goal is to go in and avoid the lines and get the signatures, because one we didn't mention that we have done in the past, that you are spending an insane amount of money for pictures and signatures, is the princess dining at Akershus. We have done that twice specifically because Mackenzie wanted to see the princesses, and that's the easiest way to get in and get those photos and satisfy a little girl who's desperate for princesses. But for four people to go, that's a $300 meal by the time you get done with the meal and the tip. That is extremely expensive. But again, time is money at Disney, and we were willing to pay that bill twice for her to go in and do it. But it's not one that I feel that I need to repeat.
No, I don't think the food there is.
I like the breakfast. I thought the breakfast was really good with the waffles, and I don't know. I think it was unique, but that used to be the rope drop kind of trick at Epcot, where you got in before the park opened up, you got your breakfast done, and then you hurried up and you got in line over at Frozen. And it was just a really great way to kick off your day by having a good meal. You met all the princesses, and then you got to ride the ride that everybody wanted to ride before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we've done it that way. And now with the Lightning Lane by the time you offset that price and get the signatures and the photos, you're getting closer.
I've brought it up before, but I had dinner there after I did the Princess Half Marathon last year because I wanted to have them all the princesses sign my medal. I actually really enjoyed my meal, but the type of food that they serve is not something that I want to pay $67 for. I feel like I could get the same quality food at IKEA for like $9, you know?
It's not a character meal, but that's how I feel about Beer Garden. Like, we want to go and we want to see it, but every time we look at the menu, I think, what am I paying for? There's not a whole lot here that I actually want to eat.
Same.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about Beer Garden at Christmas time. That's the only time that I'll eat there, and it's for the decorations and the music. And I mean, that's basically how I feel about, like, so many of the dining experiences. It really needs to be an experience for me to justify the price tag. And so many of these character meals, like, they just aren't an experience. And if the food's not great and the experience is not great, then why am I going to shell out close to $70 per person? It's just outrageous.
Yep, I was just going to say that that's kind of how we feel. The one we didn't mention also is Crystal Palace. It's got reasonably good food. The character interaction is generally very, very good, but it's extremely popular. It's right there at the front of, or I guess by the hub, the backside of Main Street, I guess you could call it. But it's just one that we've done a bunch of times, and it's just kind of in the middle. It's not the worst. It's not the best. It just kind of is.
It's one of those rare ones where you can get a good breakfast and a good dinner. Like, they're both just solid options.
I enjoy Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
We've actually said that we haven't been there in a while and it might be time to go back just simply because it's fun. It's light. It's airy. It's got a good vibe to it. And the food is reasonably good, but it just always kind of sits in the middle there as far as character meals go.
That's another one for me that I have nostalgia around, and so if the reason why I would go back is about the feels. You know, I went there when my kids were little. I have some of the most, I mean, Emma was still in a stroller and Allie was dressed in her Cinderella dress, and I have some adorable photos. And then Allie and I were on a trip together, just the two of us, and we went back and we recreated some of the pictures of her from when she was little. And the characters were amazing. And so I have, you know, I'll probably go back with her again at some point just to recreate that. But again, it's not about the food. It's about the experience and the feels.
And the location.
Just to compare Crystal, I mean, not that you can really compare them, but when you, the experience at the, in Disneyland at the Plaza, their character breakfast, the characters just did not stop coming. I mean, I think that's the difference between Disneyland and Disney World anyway, is I think that the character experiences in Disneyland are far superior to the character experiences in Disney World. And
they're far more natural, it feels like. They're not forced at all at Disneyland. They just happen organically.
And I just, like, that's an element where I'm like, how can we make this a better experience in Disney World? And I get that size is a factor, but there are some things that should not be a factor. And I just don't understand why it can be executed so well in Disneyland and kind of feel like it's often coming up short in Disney World.
You know, maybe that goes back to our previous conversation of theming. Not that Disneyland has done an exponentially better job, but I think there's so much history in Disneyland. I think that the locals and the fans in Disneyland demand more than the crowds that flock into Disney World. They absolutely demand that they hold to a standard much closer to that which they had in the early days than the fans and the guests at Walt Disney World do.
It speaks to also something that we've brought up about who's going, and because it's a locals park versus Disney World, where if you're going to Disney World, it's like you're there. You're a captive audience. You're probably staying on property or very close to it. And you are there only to go to Disney World. Maybe you'll venture over to Universal for a day or go to SeaWorld. But mostly people are going to Disney World. So they're going to get what they're going to get. And they won't get upset, or they'll go on social media and rant about it, whichever. But at Disneyland, it's, you know, these are, they want the locals to want to come back. And if they're not having a great experience, they just won't. They won't buy their annual pass over there, and they just won't come because there's so much to do in California that if you can't go to Disneyland, you'll find something else to do with your family.
Well, once again, it comes back to the feels. You know, we go to character dining, not for the food, but for the characters and how it makes you feel.
Did we forget any?
Well, we didn't talk about Cinderella's royal table.
We did. Or Ohana breakfast, which is kind of like, I think it's what, just two characters?
Yeah.
Well, who is it now? Because it used to be Mickey, Stitch, Pluto, and Goofy, right?
Lilo. Lilo is also there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's three.
Maybe it is them still.
Lilo, Stitch, and Mickey for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's those three.
Pluto definitely used to be there because Pluto stole Emma in a stroller many moons ago, but I have pictures of that. I'm trying to think if there's...
What's the restaurant at Vero Beach?
Wind and Waves.
They're coming out with the new character meal. Yeah,
Wind
and
Waves
they got a new one
a
coming out.
Breakfast.
And when you get to Aulani, they have a great character breakfast with all of the characters in the Hawaiian mm-hmm. outfits. And I mean, again, like that's what it comes down to. Like for me, I want that, as silly as it sounds, like I want them to be wearing cute outfits. I want to take cute pictures. That's why I'm there, is for the characters and to have those memories. So that's what I want. And the thing that's silly, and maybe this is not something that everybody can relate to, but I do like to make my outfits kind of themed to where I'm dining. And it sounds like this 1900 Park Fair, like you need to pick the character that you're going to try to make your outfit kind of fit in with or something, you know, like when you go someplace, like I have my outfit picked out for when we go to Cape May Cafe because... I mean, I'm not wearing beach gear, but I'm wearing a color palette that'll look cute in pictures. So, you know, these are the important things, people.
Yeah.
So anyone have any other thoughts? I'm trying to think if we've missed any.
I'm actually looking now. I don't think there's any that we really haven't talked about. Ravello has a breakfast that I've never actually done before. Goofy and Pal's breakfast. I've never done that at the Four Seasons.
We've talked about all the... character dining, really?
Yeah, I don't think we missed one.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, like you guys said, it's all about the feels, and Amy said it best, I think. It's almost like, you know, it's what made you fall in love with those meals to begin with, and that, you know, when they change something, I don't care if you change it, but at least build on what it was and try to make it a little bit better. You know, if you're going to update the decor, the physical actual property, everybody was all for that, but don't take away the original idea, the nostalgia of it, what made people fall in love, and then just put this forced idea, this, you know, rushed concept, and up the price tag by $10 per person.
And you know, another element of this, I think, is, you know, Disney has been very intentional in their movies to, you know, like to have more representation. And so you have a movie, you know, you have somebody, you know, a movie like Encanto, you could have some really great character dining or, you know, with Encanto that would have food that would be representative of the culture. And that would feel far more representative than just being like, okay, let's take this character and throw them into this hodgepodge of a character meal. And let's just throw some gumbo on there to say that Tiana cooked it. Like, I just think that they're missing an opportunity to create some more like authentic feeling experiences around these movies that they've created and this new IP that they have that could really, if themed well and done right, could be really great. And instead, it's kind of they're just taking them and being like, okay, we created them, let's throw them all together and call it a character meal. And I don't know, it just kind of feels like it's a missed opportunity even to expand on the cultures that they're trying to bring into their newer movies.
Do you guys have, I'm going to put everybody on the spot and make you think really quick. Do you guys have any ideas if you could create your own character themed meal experience? What would you do? Like, what movie would you pick? Would there be a certain character that you would want to theme it around? What would the cuisine be?
You know, I think that this new, if they are, you know, doing this Central American kind of equatorial America theme at Animal Kingdom, I think that there is a great opportunity there. I've talked a bunch with you guys personally, and also on the podcast have brought up my trip to Costa Rica. The food in Costa Rica was absolutely amazing. To be able to have a character meal that would feature kind of foods from that region and some of the cultural dishes from that region, I think would be amazing. I would go with that. Like, I would like to see them do something there that would be more like synergistic with there would be a synergy with the theming versus just throwing Mirabelle and the Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it with Mary Poppins at 1900 Park Fair. I think that is a movie that has spanned the ages. We have two versions from the original Mapo up until today. And if you're looking for an opportunity, Coral Reef desperately needs a new theme. It desperately needs a new menu. It's a beautiful spot that's underutilized. With the popularity of The Little Mermaid, you could turn that into a character meal of some sort, turn it into a buffet, drive people in there, put Ariel in Coral Reef, and I think you've got a winner.
All you can eat flounder and crab legs?
However you want to. Can you think of anything better than Ariel with her full mermaid tail sitting in front of that giant glass for a meet and greet? You go up and see her, you know, after the meal with the receipt, or however you do it, with all the fish behind her.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, definitely.
All right, we are rolling up on time. Anything else from you guys?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think we pretty much talked about everything. I don't want to give too much away about 1900 Park Fair, but like I said, I think we gave
that ship has sailed.
Yeah, right down to the only good thing is the mashed potatoes
and the ranch dressing.
Yeah, but I think people are going to form their own opinion, and I hope a lot of people have a much more positive experience than what we did, because it, you know, maybe we just had really high expectations because of every other restaurant at Grand Floridian, but it,
no. You should, for the price and the location, you should have high expectations. That's the bar they have set.
Warranted.
Yeah, I mean, when you can walk 20 steps over to Narcoosie's or go upstairs and walk to Citrico's, you expect a little bit more. And I just think that was a little bit of a disappointment, unfortunately.
Amy, any last words?
That's it for me.
All right, folks. Well, thank you for listening. If you could do us a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, give us a like, 5-star review. We would appreciate it. Amy?
And you can find us on Facebook at DVC Clubhouse. We're also on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again? We
started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives. Happily ever.